Let us turn in the scriptures to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. The book of Revelation, chapter 20. Thank you so much for coming along to the prayer meeting and Bible study. It is a missionary theme tonight. We're going to think about the needs of foreign missionaries across the world. We'll pray in a few moments and open the meeting in prayer. But before we do that, we'll read the scriptures and we'll read this chapter, Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the priest and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. We know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come into your holy presence. We thank you for gathering us here tonight for the purpose of prayer and for the purpose of considering your word. We thank you, Lord, for the singing already and for the worship and for this great ambition, great desire expressed in the words that we've been singing to send the light, the gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. And we pray that you would give us a fresh burden for missionary work and for those that serve you across the world. Father, we come to you and we pray that you would bless each one gathered here and those that have joined us through the live stream. We pray that we will know your presence and hear your voice for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. I just want to take a little section from the verse 3 of Revelation chapter 20. And I want to apply this to missionary work and to the needs that exist in hearts and souls across the world. And I want us to think about the one who is the answer for every problem that exists in every land and every nation under the sun. Because this verse 3 of Revelation 20 reads, Satan was taken and he was cast into the bottomless pit. He was shut up. A seal was set upon him. Why? That he should deceive the nations no more. That Satan should deceive the nations no more. It's a remarkable text because you think of the deception that exists in the world today. And tonight we are praying for those that serve God across the world, and we're praying for the nations of the world. And we cannot escape the fact that so many people are deluded and they are deceived. You think of the billions of people that follow false religion. And I think of Hinduism in India and Islam in the Arab world. And indeed, Islam has spread beyond the Arab world, a phenomenally fast-growing religion. You take those two religions, Hinduism and you take Islam, and you think of the billions of people that follow those ways of life. And Hinduism, on the one hand, has such a plethora of gods and of idols. It is said that there are as many gods in Hinduism as there are people in India, and that's a lot of gods, and you can have whatever god you want, really. Shape your god after your own image. And then you have Islam, and Islam repudiates the whole idea of idolatry. You'll not find idols in Islam, but yet Islam takes the prophet Muhammad and elevates him above the Lord Jesus Christ. And Islam takes the Quran and makes it the holiest book of all, and so circumvents the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think of the peoples of the world and all of their millions and even billions that are deceived by these things. You think of the false cults and the following they get. You think of apostate Christianity and how there are so many, and they follow a religion, but it's just a form of godliness without the power thereof. They haven't the reality. And so we look around the world. We don't have to go very far to see deception. And this deception comes from Satan himself, because the Apostle Paul talked about Satan being the god of this world. And he has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And yet here we have a prophecy in Revelation 20 verse 3 that Satan will be shut up for a time, and he will deceive the nations no more. No more will the nations be deceived by the power of Satan. I can't quite accept that this has been fulfilled. I can't quite accept that. Yes, I do accept that there is a difference in the operations of Satan pre-Calvary, post-Calvary. Before Calvary, Satan certainly had greater sway in the world. And yes, the power of Satan has been definitely restricted and limited, so much so the Apostle Paul talked about Christ through his death having destroyed him that had power over death, that is the devil. The power of the gospel has come into the world, but still we look at this world and we see deception. And so if this has not yet happened, there must be coming a time when the nations will be deceived no more. And I just want to plant a thought in your minds tonight, and I will be very, very brief, for I want to hand over to our brother Mark to bring some prayer requests. And the thought is this, that are we here looking at a time, yet future, when the gospel will have sway in the world in such a degree that the world has not yet experienced international revival? Is that what we're talking about here? Is that the promise? Is that the prophecy? That there's going to be a great gathering to Christ from amongst the nations of the world? I believe that that is the case, and I believe that that is scriptural. And I would go on to argue that it is not a vain thing. It is not a hopeless thing. It's not just a whim to support missionary work and for missionaries to go into all the world with the gospel. Because as they go, we have more than a hope. One day, the nations will be deceived no more. And that is the inspiration, I believe, for worldwide missions. What we're looking at here is a revival on a scale that the world has never yet experienced. Four very brief thoughts. I want us to talk about the pattern of revival. God has a pattern by which he builds his church internationally, and that pattern is revival. That pattern started in the day of Pentecost. That was the mold. And from the day of Pentecost, there has been sporadic periods of revival throughout the history of the church. And we can trace all of those periods of revival in local areas, in nations, and indeed across nations. And we can see how God enlarges his kingdom, builds his church. The church goes through these dramatic growth spurts when thousands of people, millions of people are ushered into the kingdom, when the whole course of nations and of continents is absolutely transformed. And that's what has happened in the past, and we are here tonight because that has happened in the past. That's God's pattern for enlarging and for building his church across the world. And that pattern still exists. And that pattern has not been circumvented. That pattern is still there. And so because we're not seeing revival in this land at this time doesn't mean that there won't be a revival in the future. There are nations in the world, there are peoples in the world, there are churches in the world that are seeing revival even as I speak. Revivals are still happening. It is the way by which God builds the church, the pattern of revival. And then we have the prayer for revival. If revival is the pattern that God uses to enlarge his church, then it is wholly scriptural to pray for revival. It's wholly scriptural to pray that Satan would deceive the nations no more. And just take in the scope of what is promised here in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 20. Just take the scope of that in. It doesn't say one nation, the nations. It doesn't limit those nations to one continent. It doesn't limit those nations to one ethnic group. It doesn't limit those nations to one continent. It's the nations of the world. And I think there's about 180 nations affiliated to the United Nations. I think I'm right in saying that. The nations deceive no more. So is it not biblical to come to God and say, Lord, hasten the day. Bring this about. We want to see it happen. It'll not happen until it's your time for it to happen. But we're praying that it will happen. Because that's a prayer God's going to answer. The prayer for revival is a prayer that God will answer, because revival will come. There shall be showers of blessing. That's the prayer for revival. Let's also think about the power of revival. Well, what is the power of revival? You know, this time that is spoken of, when the nations would be deceived no more, this time is characterized by something in this passage. We have it in verses 5 and 6. The first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? Well, if there's a first resurrection, there must be a second resurrection. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a first resurrection. Got to be at least two resurrections. So there's a first resurrection. So what is the first resurrection? We know the second resurrection is whenever the Lord comes again, when the bodies of the saints will be raised. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 15. But what is the first resurrection? Well, we know what the first resurrection is here in Revelation 20, verse 6, because of what it is set over against. And I want you to look at it. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. So those that have received the first resurrection are those who will not receive the second death. So once you have the first resurrection, you're guaranteed that you'll not die the second death. Now, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes at our lifetime, we're all going to die once. It's going to happen. But the child of God will never die twice. What does it mean to die twice? The second death is that which takes place whenever the ungodly are cast into the lake of fire. And you have that in Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So the second death is the death of the soul, the eternal death of the soul in hell, in the lake of fire forever. That's the second death. So those that receive the first resurrection are those that will never die the second death. And who are the people that will never die the second death? The people who will never die the second death are those that are born again of the Spirit of God. The first resurrection is the most powerful resurrection of all. The most powerful resurrection of all is the resurrection of the soul. Because the soul without Christ is dead. How often have we not preached that? The soul of the sinner is dead in sin. But when a person is converted, new life comes. There's a resurrection of the soul. And the Bible talks about the power of this resurrection of the soul in the book of Romans chapter 8. the book of Romans chapter 8 and the verse 11, the power of Christ in the soul of man. Romans 8 verse 11 says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." The same spirit that raised Christ up from the dead is within the body of the believer through the Holy Spirit. It's a resurrection. It's new life. So whenever the nations are received no more, the souls of sinners in their millions and their billions experience new birth, experience the first resurrection. That's something to pray for, that men and women across the world would receive this new life in Christ, the very life of the resurrected Savior himself. Fourthly, and finally, let's think about the promise of revival. This is a promise. It's a promise. Every prophecy is a promise that he should deceive the nations no more. It's a promise. But this promise is not restricted, nor is it limited to Revelation chapter 20. This promise concerning the nations, we have it all over the scriptures. I made reference to it. Looked at our motto text, Psalm 100, all nations, all peoples that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord. All peoples sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. In the book of Psalms, again, 72 verse 7, the Psalms is full of this. In his days shall the righteous flourish in the abundance of peace as long as the moon endureth. And this is a promise of Christ. Abundance of peace. New peace will come to the world. Psalm 72 verse 8 says, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Christ having dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Psalm 72, 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. All nations shall call him blessed. You know, we haven't seen that yet. And that parallels what Revelation 20 speaks of. And then you have those two great verses in Isaiah 11 verse 9 and Habakkuk 2 verse 14 that talk about the earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea. And you think of how the waters cover the sea from pole to pole and from east to west, the great Atlantic and the Pacific and all of the seas and oceans and all of the water as they cover the earth. So there come a time that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, when the nations shall be deceived no more. How grateful we should be for those that leave these shores. What a wonderful, remarkable task they do. Leave these shores so that this knowledge of Christ will be carried across this world of ours.